space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. We're going to be stepping back in time to the ancient Greek, the time of Plato, when philosophy was in its infancy and Star Trek was not quite on the air at this point. So we're joined by Modi. Modi, how are you? We're going to talk about Plato's Stepchildren today.
I am great.
Plato's Stepchildren is an episode that was episode number 10 of season 3, written by Meyer Dolinsky, directed by David Alexander. It aired back on November 22nd, 1968. In this episode, the crew of the Enterprise encounters an ageless and sadistic race of humanoids with the power of telekinesis who claim to have organized their society around the ancient Greek ideals. We're going to be talking about Plato's Stepchildren, which is famous for a lot of reasons, but we're going to get into it. I'm going to play an audio clip, we're going to come back, and we're going to break it down.
Your Excellency.
Barmen will do.
Philosopher kings have no need of titles. I would like to know why the ship's instrumentation and weaponry is frozen, and why the Enterprise is locked in orbit.
Captain, please. You are mistaken, I assure you.
Barman, I've talked to the engineer aboard the ship. We've showed our good faith. Now you show yours. I want the ship released immediately.
The amenities, Captain. Allow me to remind you that I am the head of this principality. Guests, do not come barging in here, making demands and issuing orders.
So, Modi, I don't know how up on like Star Trek trivia you are. Do you have any idea why this episode is well-known, or what scene is well-known from this one?
I have a suspicion because I did look at the wiki for it. So I do know the big to-do about this episode. Which I think that's what you're referring to.
Yes, do you want to go ahead? You can explain
so,
what it is.
The first, I guess, interracial kiss on camera?
Between fictional characters.
Between fictional characters, yeah, that's the thing. It's between fictional characters. So the first, like, written kiss. Between,
yes.
two interracial characters.
Yeah, so apparently it's a big deal. Everyone knows this episode for that, or everyone knows that kiss. I didn't even realize it was from this episode, but it is. And I guess a good way to start off this episode is that, does it deserve all the brouhaha around that incident?
If you had told me that the entire episode was written for that moment, it would all make sense to me, I think, at this point.
Right, yeah.
It's like, they wrote this episode so that it can have that moment? Okay, now it all makes sense why they wrote this episode.
No, it feels very... It feels like very much this like weird... And it's not a modern day push for this diversity thing, but it's memorable in that the first of anything is memorable. Like the first fictional kiss between a white man and a black woman is obviously going to go down in the history books and stuff like that. But it's so unimportant to the episode.
No, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
And apparently it was originally written to be Spock and Uhura, but, Shatner stepped in and said that he wanted to do it. So I guess that's the,
which is weird.
That's
yeah.
the way it goes, but it's not, there's nothing important about it. And I guess there's some argument about whether or not they actually kissed in the take, because they do film it in a way that could disguise if they're actually kissing or not.
Yeah. And they used to do that in other, like before, like even when it wasn't interracial, they used to do that kind of concealed kiss.
Right.
You'll
it was
see
improper.
In like Hitchcock movies and that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
When they had different standards, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't think there's really much to it. Like, it's novel that it happened. It's interesting that it's Uhura and Kirk, I guess, at the same time. I mean, I think almost the more interesting thing about that is the stuff that Uhura is telling him while they're about to kiss each other, where she's like, you know, whenever I feel scared, I think of Captain Kirk on the bridge or something.
Which was also weird, yeah.
Yeah, that's almost more revealing than the kisses. Oh, and the other, I mean, obviously the other aspect about the kiss is that they don't do it of their own free will.
Yeah. Problematic, I feel like.
Right. So It's problematic, and they also said that that was the way that the network would allow it, was because they weren't...
That's super interesting.
It is really interesting, yeah, that the network would actually be concerned about, like, the script reason for why the, why an interracial kiss is... Imagine being, like, an executive
in the
60s.
It's fine if they're forced to do it. It's fine, then. He doesn't have a choice, you know?
Just, like...
He wouldn't be doing this if he had a choice, is what they're saying, basically.
Looking at the notes in the 60s, being like, I noticed you have an interracial kiss on page 58 of the script. I don't know if this is going to actually work out, but let's talk about Plato's Stepchildren, which is famous for the kiss. It's famous for a lot of things. It might be infamous, but I guess the discussion about how this podcast goes will determine that. What did you think of Plato's Stepchildren? Or if there's anywhere want to start, give me a topic.
I mean, there's so many problems in this episode. I don't even know where to start. I mean, I guess what I want to think about first is, I don't know why I have such a hard time suspending my disbelief in some ways in this show. Like, I see actors rolling around the ground on this show more often than I do any other show I know of. And this kind of stuff occurs. But I see just William Shatner, like, fake rolling around on the ground, like he's in pain. And I see William Shatner. I don't see Captain Kirk. You know what I mean? I don't know why I have such a problem with this show that I can't suspend my disbelief like I can with other shows. But maybe it's just because it was so badly done, possibly. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that it's... I agree with you. I think this episode is, like, terrible. But it's a funny terrible to me because...
It's so bad, it's good. Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah, and we're going to be talking about two episodes. You're doing the episode after this, which is The Empath, and we're going to be talking about it. I think that they're interesting mirrors of each other because this one is terrible, but I'll be damned if the episode didn't fly by while I was watching it. Like it just went so quickly, and I was so sort of like jaw-droppingly awestruck by how just... It's kind of an unfair episode to the actors in a lot of ways. Like, there's not...
I can't believe they were into this. Like, they seem like they're into it. They don't seem like they have the, you know, the Picard kind of above it kind of thing that you get sometimes with Patrick Stewart. Yeah. I mean, sometimes he seems like he's above it in certain scenes, but like here, it's like they were into this. I'm kind of surprised.
No, they
just wanted the opportunity to show that they could cry on cue and switch to laughing on cue and crawl around like a horse.
No, they sold it. They definitely went into this.
No, they were into it.
And I feel it's almost insulting to them what they made it do. Like this episode, I feel, is terrible, but it's actually, there's a lot of ways to save what goes on here. And I mean, like they're really limited by the fact that they don't have any special effects around the telekinesis.
I was going to say that maybe, I don't know how you represent that exactly, but that could have gone a little bit further for I don't know what you do, just a sound effect or something. I don't know exactly how you save this, but yeah.
Well, I mean, the only two something things else they can do, right, is that the actors can roll around like they're being controlled, or they have stuff on strings flying around. Like, those are the only two ways that, like, a modern show would have a little bit more of a sort of gravitas to it, kind of a thing.
And
it comes across as very much like when they're the worst, I think, is when they're sort of being led places and they're forced to like walk to places and they're walking like the scarecrow from Wizard of Oz and stuff like that.
It had a very staged play kind of feel to it.
It did, for sure. Yeah. So what, I mean, if people are unfamiliar, I guess I'll give the rough breakdown. This is an episode where out of nowhere, the Enterprise and Kirk, Spock and McCoy just beam down to this planet. We get a huge info dump about what's going on from a midget or dwarf. I'm sorry if both of those are offensive, but he's a little
dwarf.
Person.
Let's go with dwarf. Let's make a decision right now. I think dwarf is cool.
Okay,
let's go with that.
They're greeted by a dwarf named Alexander who explains that this is a planet where aliens visited Earth and lived with the ancient Greeks, and they really admired Plato. So when the Greek civilization collapsed, they left Earth and they found a new planet where they said, "We're going to do a Greek society here." And there's 38 of them. And one of them gets sick, so McCoy fixes him, and then they say, "Hey, we need a doctor here full time, so we're going to kidnap McCoy." Kirk and Spock don't like to do that. Oh, and by the way, the Plutonians, or whatever they're called, have telekinesis powers, so they can control people with their minds. And
a lot to sink in there, actually. Yeah, a lot to sink in here.
And then it just kind of degrades into a Kirk and Spock and Uhura in Nurse Chapel are performing for the entertainment of these Plutonians. And then the episode ends when they break control out of it, which we'll get to, I think, in a little bit. But
yeah,
there's not a lot of script here.
Or too much. I don't know which it is, because there's a lot of implausible exposition going on where you have this alien race that visited Greek times in, like, what, like 300 BC or something like that?
Yeah, and then, let's settle on them. Why why are they disciples of Plato? Like, what does that bring to this story?
Why does it have to be? Like, you have so many other races that could have these kind of... I mean, I guess it's to... I really don't know. I mean, they use the aesthetic, they use... I don't know what Plato specifically brings to this that we haven't seen, you know, in other races that they've done here. You know what I mean? Like, we've had planets where there's utopias and that kind of thing. We don't need it to be some weird combination of the... I mean, even though it's like they are followers of Plato's teachings, but not really, because of the way they act.
No, they're not. They're not.
I mean, so I don't know exactly what that brings to the table.
I think that they... I honestly don't know, but I would assume that maybe they had access to a Greek set and they just had to make that adjustment.
Make an explanation of why they can use Greek architecture and, and robes and stuff in the scenes, maybe. Yeah, that's a good point.
But there's no... The script itself does not explain any sort of aspect about how these people adhere to Plato's teaching. And I'm going to say that I don't know a whole lot about Plato. I don't know what his overarching sort of theme would be. But
I have a feeling it wasn't this. Let's just go with that. It wasn't the big torture porn, whatever we're watching here now.
It wasn't used telekinesis on
porn.
People.
Yeah,
I just don't get that. It's such a useless addition to the episode that it doesn't add anything in any way towards what the actual process is. And it's like, it doesn't even add anything to the villain whose name I'm forgetting, and I'm going to look up now. His name is like Praman or something. His name, Parman.
Yeah, Praman, yeah.
So, I mean, outside of the Greek thing, what's your sort of next big take on this? Because I think all these ideas are going to combine, but it's interesting that we have to sort of parse out the ideas.
So they have developed superpowers. They've developed telekinesis, and they also live like 2,000 years.
Yes.
And it's not a result. They say it's eugenics that caused this, but it turns out it's not. It's just that they're eating the plants of this planet that gives them superpowers, because Kirk and McCoy, and I guess not McCoy, but Kirk and Spock both get the same superpowers. Well, maybe not Spock, but they don't have the eugenics thing. So why is that brought to the table?
The interesting thing about that is that McCoy can apparently give people these superpowers with his medkit.
Anytime he wants.
Yes, anytime that he wants, yeah. The aliens themselves apparently eat fruit that gives them this ability, but McCoy's like, hey, I can do this on my own. So apparently humans have this.
And twice as good, he says, too. I can give you twice the amount of powers they have.
So humans are...
Anytime.
Humans are basically just always able to have these awesome powers of telekinesis where they can control things and be basically unstoppable warriors. But yeah, that's it's just such a clunky storytelling that they have to resolve to these things. And then the vast majority of this episode is really just them sort of forcing Kirk and them to do things.
A lot of it is that. Yeah, there's the whole act two, which is basically just humiliating Spock and Kirk so that McCoy will willingly join up with them.
Guys, there's a scene where Kirk is on all fours neighing like a horse as a dwarf rides him around the room. And it's so terrible. Like...
Can we talk about Alexander? He's the most interesting thing here, I think.
Well, let's,
his character was actually kind of interesting.
Yes, I want to get to Alexander. Let's talk about I think one of the fatal flaws of this episode, right, is that their humiliation is not humiliating to me.
No, it's comical for the most part.
There's a... Well, I was thinking... Well, as I was watching this, I was saying, you know what? You know what would save this episode? If they could make it an X-rated episode. If there was like really depraved dark shit going on,
Yeah.
Wouldn't that make more sense?
Sure. Whatever you want to see, buddy. Whatever you want to see.
If it wasn't just, you know, Kirk kissing a girl, like if it was something more like a sexual assault that was going on.
They did make it out to be that, though. I mean, it was going to happen. Like, that was implied here. Like, there was going to be a lot more than kissing going on here. And, like, we could let the cameras roll for another 10 minutes.
We didn't get to it. I mean, the worst
thing
that
happens. We got the Deus Ex Machina of, well, Deus Ex McCoy, I guess, here. But, of that. But,
I mean, the worst thing that happens is Spock picks up a red hot poker. That's like the only thing that implies at all to me that there's any kind of bad stuff going on, because they mostly seem content to make them dance and sing and things like that.
There's Shatner, who knows how to use a bullwhip, apparently.
Yes, very impressively. And did you realize that Nimoy actually wrote that song, that terrible song?
I read that and I was like, oh, that God, I can't believe he wrote that and performed it. And now it all makes sense why it's so bad.
So why did the aliens get off on this kind of humiliation aspect? What's in it for them?
So Kirk, for some reason, launches into this that they're dead inside and they want to feel something by making other people feel terrible. And that's what they get off on, because they no longer feel anything. And so that's why they keep Alexander around, and that's why they are treating them like this. And that doesn't seem like that's the reason, because they do state that the reason is they want McCoy to join up. So they're torturing you so that McCoy will join. They can't kill you because he won't join then.
Right.
So they explain the reasons, and then Kirk thrusts his own like subtext into it that he's read into it the entire time at the very end.
I'd agree
so,
with that.
Yeah, that's the reason, I guess. But
I think I agree with that. I think it's so detached from anything. It's really just sort of a, hey, look what I can do in this kind of script. And they go with it. And it doesn't make a lot of sense. Their rationale for doing it. I do understand the origin of it, where Kirk comes in and he's like, hey, I want to leave. And the guy's like, you don't tell a god king what to do or whatever. And he makes him slap himself over and over again. But the later on aspect of it doesn't really, like, the whole theater aspect, once they put on the short dresses and Spock and Kirk are wearing their little outfits and everything.
This was the anniversary of their people gaining the abilities, not the anniversary of arrival. It's the anniversary of them learning how to do the things they can do.
Oh, is it really?
That's what I understood it to be. Yeah, I don't think it was their arrival here. I think it was them becoming this new being.
I didn't even realize they were celebrating anything.
It was the anniversary. That's the thing. They have this anniversary planned, is what the whole thing is.
I gotcha.
And so I'm kind of wondering in the back of my mind, what would they have done for entertainment here? Or what would this party have been if it wasn't for these people showing up at the end of the day? We're just planning revelries with whoever showed up at I guess. I don't know exactly. It doesn't seem like much of a party. It's just all of them sitting there on a stage watching what's going down.
It would have been that one guy who looked a lot like Mark Wahlberg in Boogie Nights, who looked like Dirk Diggler. He was sitting in the audience. We were laughing about that, how much he resembles Mark Wahlberg. But yeah, I think that I think the episode just doesn't really go far enough, and the attempts to make
it
go far.
Which is surprising, because given the places it goes, it doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't go far enough somehow.
Is there any aspect to it that you sort of does any aspect of this sort of work for you on any kind of level? Like you mentioned that you thought that the actors were selling out, but they were really like going balls to the wall.
The main cast was definitely like committed to what they were doing. It seemed like, I mean, not as much as the dwarf actor that played Alexander was. He was even more committed. Like there was a scene where they were choking him. And I'm pretty sure he was legit choking himself because he turned red. So I'm like, oh man, he is definitely committed. He is definitely owning it. And I appreciated that. But I was a little worried for him at the time, too. It's like, wow, how many takes did that take where they make him keep choking himself?
That's a good, it's a good segue into Alexander. Do you want to lead off a discussion about Alexander, the dwarf Plutonian?
Yeah. So he's the beaten down character that they keep around to be their slave, basically. And he's got some type of Stockholm syndrome for the most part, where he has been just willingly going along with this because he believes them to be so superior.
Right.
Until the crew shows up and shows him that, you know what, these guys aren't superior and there are different ways to live. And this isn't all people. This is just these folks. And he's got some good scenes of him, you know, explaining how he's been in the dark this whole time about things.
I find that Kirk, did you like the way that Kirk approached the relationship with him, where he's sort of
At first, okay, until the very end, until the very last line of the episode, actually, I liked it.
They did oh, so God. Well not to make any jokes, and then
they
just
did. They were doing so well. They did not make any jokes at his expense at all until the very end.
They even had that scene where when Kirk first like sort of corners Alexander and he's like, are there any more Plutonians like you? And he's like, what do you mean like me? And he's like people without powers. And he's like, oh, I thought you meant
so it was
people.
So good. Like it throws your assumptions in your face kind of thing. I liked that very much. I liked that line very much. And that seemed like a very modern thing to do. Like,
yes,
like,
you it know, did. Like yeah.
You were thinking I was going to go there. Well, screw you. We're not dropping as low as you are, viewer.
reverse,
I do enjoy those kind of. I do like those kind of things. Yes. But yeah. So Alexander has the most realizations and most emotional stuff to do. I mean, he has the choice between taking the powers and ruling the entire society. I mean, Kirk was going to set him up as the ruler of the planet, basically.
Yep.
And he chose not to. He doesn't want to be like his enemies, he says. And that was some interesting stuff, and it was a cool role and a cool character.
Yeah, he threatens to kill all the others. Kirk tells him not to do that. He breaks a vase very dramatically and says he's going to slash him up with a piece of it or whatever. But I think that I didn't mind Alexander. He's introduced with this ridiculous like information dump. This episode really just
starts.
No, yeah,
he's part of the dump is part of the problem too.
Out of nowhere, the episode is just like boom. We're in the middle of a Star Trek episode, and you're and they have a Alexander come out and explain everything about this planet to Kirk because the audience needs
and
to be
also
filming.
Do the subtext of I want to tell you something, but I can't. Like he does like right. That was in like the first scene. I think is like they're gonna kill you. Wait, you can't say that. I can't say that. It happens before the credits, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, and apparently Alexander is taken away at the very end. I thought he was fine. I find I thought that I don't know how old he's supposed to be. Is he supposed to be as old as the other ones in this?
I believe that's the implication, is that he's been eating this stuff and it's keeping him alive the same way. He's been with them for a very long time, it sounds like.
Right.
Because he says he can remember before they got the powers.
Oh, that's right.
And if they've
right.
been living
yeah.
for 2,000 years, then... It seems that he was there when this thing developed, because he said they developed it 6 months after they arrived, so he must have been there at the beginning.
Yeah, that's a good point. So he
maybe
was
he's
there.
Human, and they took him because these guys aren't human, right?
No, they're aliens. I think
you're right. So maybe he's not one of them, and they took a human with them or something. I don't know exactly. But
oh, I see. Would that because I guess my one correction would be I didn't realize that they were getting their like basically immortality from the fruit. I thought that was like their alien.
That's what his assumption was. Okay. I mean, maybe that's the eugenics part of it. Maybe because they do say, oh, we're highly evolved because we use eugenics to control our population and
right.
only keep the best. And so maybe that's why they're living so long.
Maybe.
But then why is Alexander alive then?
Right.
If he's one of them. So I don't know.
Yeah, he'd be along a Geordi's visor type thing.
Very convenient that he's a. I mean, I don't know what it is, but like the carotene or whatever they call it, the protein that he can't develop because of his condition.
Yep.
They say that because he's who he is, he can't get the powers that they have, and it seems really convenient. Like, did they choose him on purpose because of that, or is it just like because they wanted somebody they can lord it over? Because they knew that he wouldn't be able to get the thing. Because they don't know what's causing it either. Because they think it's them. Like, giving them this power. They
right.
don't know what's the food.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Don't quite know why.
Like, ultimately, why is he being... I guess they are just keeping around for entertainment. But it seems weird at
that
point.
But how does he doesn't develop the powers? And it's just lucky that they chose a dwarf to lord this over. Because
right.
he can't develop the powers. If he was anybody else, he could.
Oh, right. Because he never mentions that there was any change in it, right? Like
it
they
was like something with pituitary gland, which makes sense that he would have, you know, the
dwarfism,
he would develop fully. Yeah, but like... it was this convenient that they chose him? Or if they tried this with many other people and they get developed powers and they eventually overthrow them or something?
Yeah. So this all sort of wraps
weird.
Up in one way that a lot of people actually complain about the ending, and I wondered what you had thought about it, because they think that the Enterprise lets these people off a bit too easy.
They gave them a stern talking to, though.
Stern talking to.
Stern talking to. Very stern talking to.
Kirk warns him that, you know, we know how to inject ourselves and make ourselves super-powered psychic gods now. So when we don't fuck with us, or we'll come back and we'll do it to you again. But they do let him basically continue his planet in this seems to me to be an unfair way.
At all. Yeah. Like, no guarantees that they'll change their ways. And also, his threat is that, hey, we'll come back with the same superpowers you're using, so don't develop those further, because if we come back, we won't be able to best you then.
You see those strawberries?
We'll just eat twice as much food, and we'll develop the powers even faster than you will then.
Don't eat the coconuts. Don't eat the space coconuts, or you'll get these these horrible powers. Yeah, it's... I mean... Oh, I guess we'll get to this in the final thoughts about where we sort of stand on it, but I mean, I think it's just such a... It's such a dumb episode in a lot of ways. Like, nothing really happens in it all that much. And it's amazing to me that it held my attention for as long as it did. I think it's just because it's so bad, it's good. And I do agree that, like, the actors are completely giving their all in this for whatever reason. Oh, the one last thing before we get to final thoughts. The, Spock thing is interesting here, I think, where apparently, Spock's thing is the only one to me that really feels like it would be any kind of humiliation for Spock, right? Where they make him feel emotions.
Yeah. They worry about him being harmed by his emotions. Like they also get in this into empath also. It's like his emotions, when he feels them, they can inflict brain damage basically, or something like that. Permanent effects basically.
So I mean that. So it makes sense to me that it's offensive to Spock because he lives his entire life and they're basically making him do the opposite of what he lives his life to be, which is not what they do with Kirk and the others, who basically have to dance and kiss and stuff, and it's not all that bad. Spock's is actually the most believable like reaction that I felt, and I like his little, he's like, you know, after he's sort of stressed out by it, he's trying to calm himself down, and then he just grabs
it. Oh yeah, I like that scene.
And he crushes it. Yeah, that's a good scene.
Yeah, that part's actually pretty cool. And that's also the scene where Alexander smashes the pot. So that's probably the best scene in the entire episode.
Just rewatch that one endlessly.
Yeah, just watch that again.
Yeah, we're gonna take a break, play an audio clip. Me and Modi are gonna come back and give our final thoughts and feelings about the episode, the classic episode that is Plato's Stepchildren.
You knew that I intended to destroy both you and the Enterprise. Yet you spared me. To us, killing is murder, even for revenge. But there will be other starships. There's no need for concern. They'll be safe. Of late, I have begun to think that we have become bizarre and unproductive. We are existing merely to nourish our own power. It's time for some fresh air. We shall welcome your interstellar visits.
I don't believe you.
That would be highly uncharacteristic. We must expect, Parman, that the moment we leave here, your fear would be gone, and you would again be as sadistic and as arrogant as your 2,500 years have made you.
And just remember, we can recreate that power in a matter of hours, so don't try anything.
All right, guys. Hope you enjoyed that audio clip. I'm sure it was fantastic. We are going to be giving our final thoughts and feelings. If you're on YouTube, you can vote by clicking in the little upper right-hand corner. There's a little gray circle button. You can click that. Brings up a poll. Vote on our 1 to 5 scale what you thought about this one. And before I forget, if you guys have, we obviously aren't podcasting about all the TOS episodes, but if you go to thepenskypodcast.com, you can check out my write-ups for all the episodes that have passed us by, a lot of season 3 episodes that are passing us by at this point. So go to the website, thepenskypodcast.com, to check those out. And anyway, Modi, let's get to the ratings for this one. I'm a little conflicted about, mostly because we paired this one with the empath, and I think that they're very similar in a lot of ways. But how about you go first and let me know what you're going to give this one on our 1 to 5?
Before I do that, I've got a little surprise for you.
Oh, sure.
That line was so bad. No, I was just quoting Kirk at the end there when he finally breaks down and uses the line that I didn't want him to use the entire time.
I needed you to kneel down beside me in a condescending way and just like
yes, exactly. Wink. Heard you don't like short jokes. Wink. So I'm gonna give this one a 3 because it is so bad it's good to watch. Actually,
interesting.
There's just so much. There's so much wrong here. But like I said, there is a couple of good moments. The one scene after the first big humiliation scene. where they're all kind of and Spock is kind of going trying to psych himself back up to the living, basically, and sitting there with his hands in like kind of gun shape, just sitting there thinking. That's actually a really good scene.
It is
the
a
episode
good
is not very well written and not very well thought out and seems like kind of jumbled together. So, but it's very, very watchable, as you pointed out. Like it does make the time fly. So yeah, I'm gonna give it a 3.
Yeah, I'm torn. I think the closest analog to this episode is Spock's brain. I think it's very similar in that way, where it's kind of a terrible episode that's not like irredeemable in a lot of ways. Like I don't think it's really the worst of the worst, which would be something more of a boring episode. But I think that this one is very similar to Spock's brain in that it has a very simple story. It doesn't really go anywhere. It doesn't do anything story-wise that's like horrifically stupid or like completely inexplicable as to where it goes. But it's just so, it's so pointless and so like that no, there's no drive to anything. And like the setup here of making them humiliate each other for using their telekinesis, it doesn't add anything to the story. Like the story doesn't seize on that moment and do anything with it. I think I'm going to give this a 1. And
wow,
it's just too similar to Spock's brain for me, and it's starting to show a real sort of problem with season 3 at this point. Like a lot of season 3 episodes are kind of like this, and it's a little bit depressing in a lot of ways that the show really didn't last all that long before it went into this kind of like a nosedive here. Yeah, I'm gonna give it a 1. Did you have anything you wanted to add or anything to change my mind?
No, I think that my perspective, because I'm not watching all these episodes, so I mean I don't have Spock's brain to compare this to. So I think that's the difference in score there for sure. Because I don't have as much season 3 or even season 2 to compare it to.
Sure.
So yeah, I think I understand the diversity of our scores there for sure.
Well, I mean, you had mentioned in the last episode you did, I think, that you were like, oh, we've been seeing a lot of like better season. A lot of like high rating episodes, much more than season TNG. It's because we've been picking them, obviously. But is this
pick and choosing? Right?
Do you think this is the worst episode you've seen so far?
This is probably the worst one I've watched. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I would say so. And it's still. I mean, it gave the other ones a 4. So I mean, it still tracks. I mean.
Well, we'll see how things change when we get to the Empath in a couple of days, but. Guys, thank you very much for listening to the podcast. I appreciate you listening. If you enjoyed the content, you're on YouTube, like and comments. Appreciate it. If you're on iTunes or any of the other podcatchers, if you could rate us there, it's greatly appreciated. Facebook.com/ThePenskePodcast and Patreon.com/ThePenskePodcast. Go there and vote now. I think you have, by the time this episode goes up, you're going to have one day to decide what we talk about in May. And we're going to be doing pilot season, so we're going to be picking up the pilots of a couple TV shows that people can vote on to see what we talk about. Go there to the Patreon to do that. And other than that, yeah, thank you very much for listening. Modi, thanks for coming on.
Anytime.
You're going to be here for your last TOS episode, The Empath, which I've mentioned a couple times, and you're going to be here in a couple days. But yeah, you're wrapping up your TOS experience, I guess, at least the TV series.
It.
Yeah, you made it.
Yeah.
You made it all the way to the end. And guys, that's about it. Thanks very much for listening. I appreciate it. We'll be back in a couple days with The Empath.